want to know how to find it. Seek it out when they hide it. You know it's in the bag when it's an easy grab. But come on, take a chance now. So go, geocache. And if you need help, we're right there in a flash. If you got a question, just call in and ask. Uncover the stash on the Geocaching Podcast. The Geocaching Podcast.
Welcome to episode 208 of the Geocaching Podcast, recorded live on June 15th, 2011. I'm your host, XPunkX, with
Daryl W4 and
Head Hard Hat.
If you want to participate in our show today, please call 724-444-7444. Our podcast ID is 7525. You can also join live in our chat room to participate with other listeners, and that can be found at geocachingpodcast.com/live. Click the Join Now button to participate. We have a voicemail line, and we love to hear from our listeners, and that number is 206-350-3GPS. This episode is sponsored by listeners like you. Thank you for your donations. Welcome back, guys. It's another week of the Geocaching Podcast. This is an excellent topic tonight. But on another note, though, we did hear from Monty Ryder this week, and he's still really busy and missing the podcast. Unfortunately, he's been so swamped that he hasn't been able to even keep up with the recorded shows. So we'll hope things calm down for him and we'll hear back from him soon. But until then, he's still around, but not been able to join us. Daryl, have you been?
Oh, not too bad. It's been real busy around here, but I did get some time into do a few caches, including a few around that meet and greet that I had to miss the show for last week. And just had a lot of fun biking to a local nature center and grabbing five caches. And I'll tell you, the weirdest thing about that was none of them were micros.
Oh, wow.
Oh, neat.
That's nice.
I'm so used to micros these days that it's just weird to hunt for something, you know, small.
Yeah, I bet.
Well, Head, what have you been up to?
Oh, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Things are definitely starting to gear up around for geocaching. One of the things that I did as an assignment over the past week is actually do some more lunchtime geocaching. Surprise, surprise. Only this time I brought around my video camera so that we could use it for some segments in geocaching world. So hopefully those will turn out real nice. And I had a lot of fun just finding the geocache. I had one that was in a gazebo that just drove me absolutely crazy, and you'll just have to come and see it to see where it's at, but it was a lot of fun. The other thing that I've got going on is this weekend I'm going to a geocaching event, and it's not a big one. They're probably only going to have about two or three dozen people there, but it's geared around who has the best creative geocache. So that one should be a lot of fun, and hopefully I'll get some neat pictures and tell you guys about it next week.
Yeah, that's going to be very cool. I'm looking forward to seeing that.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. Plus, I haven't geocached. It's in the southwestern corner of North Carolina, and I haven't had a chance to go geocaching in that area, so I'm going to be a busy guy this weekend.
Yeah, sounds like it. Now, for us, we're just kind of still preparing for our trip to Seattle here, and I've been playing more with that Badolf GPS for the iPod, and you know, I'm liking it. Haven't had done a whole lot of caching with it yet, but you know, from what I'm seeing, I like it so far. We'll do more reviews on that later, but yeah, it's been fun. Just trying to get used to that.
I'm sorry, anything that calls itself Bad Elf has to be fun to play with.
Yeah, and it kind of reminds me of the name Bad. It kind of reminds me of the Bad Cop.
There you go. No siren, though.
No.
Last week, we told you about the coming geocaching.com update, and we now have more about them after their application on June 9th. This batch most notably improved the beta maps, adding new features for pocket queries and filtering. Many other bug fixes and some more improvements made it into this release as well. And we'll link the info about this and everything else related to our show notes.
We received sad news this week as the only remaining ape cache in the U.S. was archived on June 13th. The Project Ape caches were placed in 2001 as part of a promotional deal for the Planet of the Apes movie, each containing props from the original movie. Mission 9 Tunnel of Light, GC-1169, along the Iron Horse Trail in Washington had been the staple for cachers visiting the Pacific Northwest. Now the only remaining Project Ape cache of the original 12 is Mission 4 Southern Bowl, GC-C67, in Brazil. You can check out our show notes at geocachingpodcast.com for links to both caches and the log archiving the Mission 9 cache.
Well, we are not going to be having a live show on the 29th of June, but we want you to call into our voicemail number, and that number is 206-3503-GPS, with your geocaching bucket list and why the specific geocache that you're listing is on your bucket list. Now, if you're not familiar with a bucket list, it's the idea of what do you want to do before you die? And so we want you to tell us your geocaches that you wanted to do before you die and why that cache is on your list. And then we'll release that as a show with the bucket list caches from people around the world. So again, that number is 206-350-3GPS. Get us your bucket list caches before the 29th so we can release that as a show. And I'm looking forward to hearing all the bucket list caches because I know there's going to be some awesome ones on there.
Well, we're also skipping the live recording on July 6th, but instead we'll be recording live at Geo Woodstock 9. If you're there, make sure to stop by for the live recording of the July Cacher Coffee at 1 p.m. in the podcast studio. I'll be hosting with Head, Heart, Hat and the Bad Cop. Bring your topics and share with us in person. For those who won't be able to join in, we hope that we'll be able to actually live stream through Ustream, but we won't know till that day if we're able to get the signal out.
Yeah, and you know, follow us on Twitter. We can go ahead and Twitter all that information out to you guys so you can know where if we're going to go live so you can see the day of the event. And, you know, I won't be there because I'm going to be in Seattle that same week getting some nice pictures and video and audio at the headquarters, at Grand Speak headquarters. So hopefully have fun there and return some good stuff to you guys.
I personally just am so glad, Daryl, that we're just not going to have to work that much that day.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be a long day for me, but I'm really looking forward to it. Just I wish I would have more chance to get to mingle with all the other cashers there, because that's what I miss most about these events anyway.
Yeah, and I think for our listeners, too, if you are going to be at Geo Woodstock, by all means, come on over to the pavilion, say hi. We might not be able to have long conversations because I think Daryl's doing three shows. I'm doing three shows. Bad Cop's got a bunch. You know, Sonny and Sandy's going to be there. There's a bunch of other people. We're going to be busy, but we really, above everything, want to see you and talk with you guys. So by all means, stop by the pavilion, say hi.
Now it's time once again for the GSAC Garage. Short tips for GSAC users.
I'm BBPad. Welcome back to another GSAC Garage. Today we're going to dive a little bit into the search filter. While there may be a lot of buttons, text boxes, and little switches to press, it's really nothing overly complicated. All it does is lay out every option that comes in GPX. One of the nice features that I find is that, well, again, you can click everything. So if you wanted a certain distance from a center point, if you wanted a cache that was published between a certain date and another date, or even based on the last GPX that you loaded to make sure that no archived caches or such were in there. The nice thing about the search filter, and I don't know how well it's used, is the ARC polygon tool. It's really, really handy for those people that want to do a cache along a route. While it doesn't replace the pocket query cache by on a route, it does allow you a little bit more flexibility, because not only do we do along a single line, and I might remind you, the single line you can add point to point, so you don't have to do a search through Google or anything like that to get a route. You can draw the route as you want, or you can make a enclosed polygon. So this enclosed polygon will allow you to search for any cache within a specific shape, not just along a specific route or the circle that a pocket query will give you. So say you wanted to do a specific park, but your pocket query runs and will pick up, you know, a circle where this park may be a triangle. You don't want those ones outside the park bounds. So you draw up your polygon through the handy online tool, copy all the points into this tab, and hit OK. What it will do is we'll then search within that polygon along with all of the other settings that you set. Say you wanted only traditionals or only unknowns or anything like that. The search function really is the backbone of GSAC. And after this, of course, you have a filtered list of all the caches that based on those search results, and you can do, you can export them into GPXs, you can put them on your GPS, or you can even run a macro that will show them up in Google Maps. And I think the macros will be the topic of my next GSAC Garage.
Geocaching question of the day. The bad cop asks, you answer.
Hello, this is the bad cop, and welcome to the geocaching question of the day. Each weekday, I ask a geocaching-related question to my Twitter audience, and then summarize the replies and post it on my website. I hope this little project will keep you up to date on the ever-changing face of geocaching. Do you prefer to use a GPS or a smartphone, such as the BlackBerry, iPhone, or Android, to find geocaches? 63% of the stalwart geocachers that replied said they prefer to use a GPS. What about you? What do you prefer to find caches with, a GPS or a smartphone? Want to find out all this and more? Come to my website, cachingnw.com, and follow me, the Bad Cop, on Twitter.
Well, tonight we have a guest, a previous guest back on our show. We've got Clay and Gus from the ET Highway Power Trail series. Now, as you guys know, the Power Trail was archived, and well, we've got some good news, and like we saw last week, and we have Clay and Gus back on the show again here tonight on episode 208. Their previous episode that they were on was 192, so they're back with us on 208. Welcome back to the show, guys.
Thank you. Hey, thanks a lot.
I'll tell you what, guys, right off the bat, this has got to be one of the most, at least in the world of geocaching, this has been one of the most bittersweet situations I have ever seen about a phenomenon with geocaching. To hear the word first that the highway was actually going to be archived, and now that it's coming back, and we've heard that all about the different issues that have been going on with the Nevada Department of Transportation and all the other things that were going on, but we never really got any of the specifics. And what my question to you guys is, what happened?
Well, I could tell you it's been just as crazy for us as everybody has perceived it to be. I mean, we never imagined when we first hit them that we'd be going through all this now. But anyway, I think basically what it boils down to is it was all one big miscommunication. And what happened was apparently there was an incident with a snowplow, and we got a call that day from the Nevada Department of Transportation, and he advised us of the incident. And we immediately took that little stretch of caches down and archived them. And I guess that wasn't good enough for him, or he didn't know if, contacting us was going to be good enough. So he went ahead and contacted Groundspeak as well. And, from talking to the NDOT public information officer, she read me the email, and apparently it said something like, this stretch of highway is perceived to be a problem. And so Groundspeak said, okay, well, they want that entire stretch of highway removed. I think they took that to mean the entire trail when NDOT took it to mean, to actually be that little stretch of trail. So, unfortunately, by them going to Groundspeak, it killed the whole trail when we already had taken care of the problem. But, Groundspeak was unaware of that at that point.
Well, so what are some of the things that you've actually learned and changed this time to address those kind of concerns? And also, is there anything that you can pass on to others who might be looking to set up similar trails?
Yeah, we've talking with NDOT, and she was fine with pretty much everything that we had done. She wasn't real crazy about having them on the mile markers like we did. So basically, they've come up with a procedure where they've written some documentation to cover all of Nevada highways and stuff, and they were looking at other states to see what they had. And they just wanted us to basically get them about 50 to 100 feet off the trail, basically off the easement, to where cars could safely pull over, they could get out, they weren't going to be near the highway or anything like that. So unfortunately, it's going to take a little bit longer to hide them and to find them than it did the first time. But to tell you the truth, out of that 1,021 we hid, probably only 300 of them or so were hidden on the markers like that. The rest of them were all hidden pretty much how we were hiding them now. We're just going to move them back a little farther.
Do you think that's going to actually, when people consider this as being such a park and grab kind of a situation, how much more time do you think that's actually going to add to people finding the geocaches since they're moved back that much?
Well, I tell you, for us, hiding them is taking quite a bit longer. We're only we went out this weekend. We hid 380. We're averaging about 30 hides an hour, I believe it was, where before we were getting, I think it was around 50 hides an hour. So it's definitely slowed down, but a lot of it is, I mean, we've got to, if any of you guys have been out there, there's hardly anything out there. We would have to go get my truck, go find rocks to go hide them and place them and all that stuff. But to tell you the truth, it's only by the time you get out of the passenger side door, you're only taking about maybe 10 to probably no more than 20 steps to find the cache. And we're making it to where it's pretty obvious. If there's a big bush, we're hiding it close to the bush. There's the only rock piles that are going to be out there are going to be our hides. So, you know, the whole design was to make it a park and grab, you know, cache and dash type thing. It certainly isn't a, you know, known for their hard hides out there or anything like that.
And I got to tell you, it's, you know, in light of what's happened in the past, it's probably not a bad thing for people to slow down a little bit out there anyway. So.
Sure.
So just out of curiosity then, for somebody that is going to be wanting to you know, design their own trail in general, what is the main thing that you tell them that they really, really should make sure they do when designing a trail like that?
Well, definitely hide them far enough from the blacktop that people won't decide to park on the roadway, because that was the problem with the mile marker caches that we had hidden. So, you know, definitely put them out there to where people have to pull off the road to go get them. I think that would be the number one problem, you know, number one recommendation.
And then probably on that too, we're going through two different counties to do this. I mean, it's out in the middle of nowhere, and you might see one car every 3 hours. You might see 20 in an hour. It just depends on what's going on. But a good location that's not busy, and we probably would have been better off had we did some contacting with the DOT. We didn't think it was a problem at first, but of course we didn't know what we were getting into. But now that we've had conversations with them and the BLM groundspeak, our reviewer and everything, we're pretty confident that we got a good trail this time that should be able to stick around for the time being.
Well, that's good. And this time, you know, anyone who came out and did it before can do it again as a new trail.
Yes, we've it's kind of funny. We actually ended up finding two of our own caches, which was kind of weird. That it was kind of neat, but we found some rock piles, which was nice because we needed the rocks. And but yeah, there's for the most part they're hidden a little bit farther off. But in some places, it was kind of funny. We'd be driving down the road and we'd pull up to where we're going to hide one. Either Gus or I would say, you know, oh, it's going to be, you know, right there behind that rock, and we remember hiding one there or somewhere near there. And it was kind of a bittersweet going back out there again and doing the hides.
So now, are most of the caches that are similar spots, I mean, obviously they're new spots because you said you moved them all farther away from the road, but are they in similar locations? Like someone who may have done this previously, would they be pretty familiar to them, or is it in a different location altogether?
Yeah, I mean, for people who've done it before, if they just remove the ones that we hit on the mile markers, it's the same trail. I mean, for the most part, all the ones that we hit, you know, like Clay said, about 50 to 100 feet off the road, that's where we hit them before, you know, the ones that weren't on the mile markers. So that's really the only difference, is the ones in the mile markers are removed, and the ones that are through the mountain passes have been removed. We skipped those passes entirely, and we're making that up in other areas.
Now, you said you're making them up in other areas, but from everything that I've read, you're also adding a whole bunch more caches. Is that true?
We are. The magic number we're aiming for is 1,500, and I think we're going to try to accomplish that by running the trail all the way to Tonopah. And also, for, you know, some people may know that Nevada's oldest cache is out there very, and we're considering running a trail to the oldest cache as well, kind of like a little offshoot from the highway.
Oh, so, that sounds really, you know, cool.
Since everybody's going after that one anyway, why not run the trail in that direction?
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely worth going out and doing that one. Now, a question, though, is what kind of support did you get this time? Because I know there was a lot of outrage when the trail was abandoned so abruptly by some of the local businesses, and they got in touch with NDOT and all that kind of thing. So was there any support from those organizations this time around?
We had an incredible amount of support, mostly from the local community. But, you know, the way this whole thing came about for this new trail was there was an article on the AOL News Huffington Post, and it was titled something to the effect of Nevada doesn't want geocachers or something like that. But anyway, the last paragraph was the NDOT public information officer, and it was quoted as her saying that they never wanted it to go away. They would like it back. So that's what prompted me to get on the phone and find who this person was and get in contact with her. But anyway, you know, back to the businesses and everything, you know, they were really going to bat for us. They were really pushing through with all their town hall meetings and county commission meetings. And from what we were told, the county of Lincoln County, they noticed a sharp decrease in revenue the first month that the trail was shut down. So it was an immediate impact in the area.
And I was going to ask you how much did the economy get affected by that getting shut down? That's amazing.
Yeah, I don't have an exact dollar figure, but they said it was very, very good, you know, enough for the county commissioners to take notice. And the funny thing is, in fact, over the weekend when we were at the Little Alien, we were told by the owner, Pat, that there was somebody from the town of Beatty in and they mentioned that they want their own geocache trail, so that kind of made it well.
Now, you mentioned that the trail will be returning, and that's very awesome, and that will be launching with a big event, and that event is GC2WK80. What can we expect at this event? I mean, I know that if I can make it out there, I would love to just by looking at the cache page, but can you tell our listeners what can they be expected at this event?
Well, I tell you, Andy, I've got a extra room that's available to anybody that wants to come out for to do any kind of broadcasting from there. So if you want to come out, I've got a room already reserved for you.
let's see if I can talk the wife into that trip.
Okay. It's a great cabin. You'll be right next door to us, right in between us. So if you guys can make it out, we've already got it reserved. It's paid for, so come on over. But
There you go, guys. Get your sleeping bags.
I'm sorry?
I said, there you go, guys. Get your sleeping bags.
Actually, it's a really nice room. It's we got a dual bed and everything, and I believe they've got jacuzzis in there or something in the room. But anyway, it's real nice. It's in Alamo. But what we did last time is we knew it was going to be kind of big. We didn't think it was going to be as big as it was, and we had done that alien head. It was made up of 51 caches. We also plan on having another geo art out there. We're going to kind of leave it a surprise, but it'll be published that Friday night before the event, and we designed it where there's reflectors on it where you can just go out. There's really nothing out there in the desert but maybe a few critters and stuff. But everybody pretty much went out there and found that at night. It was a lot of fun. We're also going to have an alien type sci-fi costume contest where people can participate in dressing up as their favorite alien sci-fi character or something like that. So we're going to have some drawings for that. We're also going to have a CITO. It just got published. It was either today or last night. We're basically at the cache number one. We're going to also have another ammo box there that's going to have a trash bag. And as you're caching along the freeway, you know, you're going to pick up some trash. And then before the event that night, we're going to get everybody together, get the trash together, kind of a good way of telling the community that what geocaching is all about, and that we're out there trying to help the community clean it up and everything. So we're going to have that. We're also going to have a Where-A-Go cache, a mystery, letterbox hybrid, a multi. We're going to have our CITO or event and a regular. There's already a virtual and an Earth cache out there. So if you can come to our event, you're going to get 9 different icons out there, along with doing some cleanup for the community and doing some night caching and get a nice geo art.
Wow, that's amazing. Now, just out of curiosity, you mentioned critters, and I'm always a big thing about critters. I've never really geocached in that kind of a terrain before. For people who would never have been out into that kind of a terrain, what do you suggest as far as what they might want to keep with them, and what are some of the things critter-wise you might run into?
You know, when Gus and I were putting out the trail last time, we ran into one really barking snake that was pretty aggressive. He wasn't poisonous or anything, but he scared the bejesus out of us. But we also ran into a small pack of rattlesnakes, and we were going to go out and remove them because they were right on the trail. They were out there two different times, and we went out again with some stuff to remove them, and they were gone. So there's scorpions out there. I just saw my first scorpion live in the desert just this week. I've never seen one out in the wild, but they're out there. They're tiny. I've heard there was people have seen foxes out there. There's coyotes. They're all kind of afraid of people. And last time somebody said they saw a badger out there, which I think that would be kind of scary. But along the highway, there's also cows, the possibility of horses, wild horses, and a few burros out there. But as far as anything dangerous, I would say it would be your snakes and your scorpions. But they're just not. I mean, Gus and I have spent countless hours out there, and we've seen, other than that little pack of snakes, one other snake, yeah, two snakes out there actually. So
still doesn't hurt to poke it with a stick, but just be cautious where you reach.
Right, and you know, to add to that, there's also a lot of jackrabbits, lizards, and we have seen antelope, and I have seen people post pictures of bighorn sheep as well. So there is a large variety of animals and wildlife out there.
And any aliens wandering around too, so
they're out there.
New aliens.
At least I'm told.
So now
official.
We've had a question in our chat room. You mentioned last time you were on our show that most of these your caches were 35mm containers. Is that the same thing during this series too?
They are 100% 35mm containers, with the exception of the GeoArt. Those are going to be preform containers, which is a 2-liter bottle in their condensed form, I guess you could call it.
Gotcha. Well, it seems like it's going to be fun. And, you know, I know that, like we said, you know, there was a lot of a huge outcry both by geocachers and by the community when the trail had to be archived. So, you know, I know that we're really glad to see it back. And I'm sure that the community there is really glad to see it back too, just for, you know, the sake of driving business to the area. So I'm really glad that you guys got this approved, and you know, and again, and that Groundspeak's willing to okay all of these again.
Yeah, we're excited about it. It's a lot of work putting it out there. We spent all day Saturday and Sunday. The little alien happened to comp us a room and offer food. That's how excited they are about it. We're like rock stars out there. They're just so happy to see us.
Well, but, you should be, with the amount of effort you put into all this.
We spent the whole weekend this, Friday, our Saturday and Sunday out there, and it's some work. I tell you that.
Now, the event, what's the date and time on that for our listeners?
Oh, the Alien Search Party event is going to be on Friday, August 26th. That's going to start at 7 p.m. And like Clay mentioned earlier, the Alien Search and Kiddo that we've got planned, that's going to be a time of 6:30. So between 6:30 and 7, people can show up and drop off the trash that they've collected, and then 7 o'clock, the next event starts. And also, I want to mention that we're going to have a pretty good drawing at the Alien Search Party event. And anyone who collects any trash or anything for the Sitto, when they turn it in, they're going to get an extra drawing ticket for that drawing. And also the sci-fi costume contest, anyone who decides to take part in that and dress up just for participating, they're going to get an extra drawing into that contest. And, you know, so far it looks like we're going to have some pretty good, you know, prizes and stuff to give away. We've got Tropical Smoothie Cafe. They've always been a big supporter of us, and they're throwing a lot of stuff our way. And right now we're in talks with Oak Coins. They're trying to jump on board with us. So I think that they're going to be there to help us out. And also I want to make sure everybody knows that they need to keep an eye out for the new GeoCoin, and we're also going to have event t-shirts. And those pre-sales are going to be starting within the next couple of weeks. And they can watch our website for that. We actually had to start a new website for all the traffic that we've been getting. So if they want to check out www.etgeocaching.com, they can get a lot of information on that page.
Very, very cool. Well, we want to thank you guys for being on the show tonight, and I know that we're glad to see this trail come back.
Well, thank you for having us back on.
Yeah, Yes, thank you very much, and I hope to see you guys take us up on our offer and come out and visit us.
Again, I doubt it since we're making our trip to Seattle just shortly before that, but I'll have to talk the wife into that one.
I hope you guys make it out.
Thanks, guys. Thank you guys for subscribing to the Geocaching Podcast. If you found any value in the content of this podcast, please consider visiting geocachingpodcast.com/support. Join us each Wednesday night at 9:30 p.m. Eastern on the TalkShoe service. You can call in live at 724-444-7444, and our TalkCast ID is 7525. Our show notes and links to all of our past shows can be found at geocachingpodcast.com. You can call our voicemail line, and that number is 206-350-3GPS, anytime to leave us a voicemail. And guys, I want to remind you again before we close here, give us that voicemail a call for our bucket list. Call your bucket list caches in so we can get that on our bucket list show. Again, the number is 206-350-3GPS. Have a safe week, and happy caching.